Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." So many people today think that that's what the church is, that it's eating and drinking. They don't consider the spiritual aspect of the church, which the church is a spiritual organization. Just about everybody thinks that it's eating and drinking. The slides that I have this evening, most of them are going to be from here in the community. Again, what we have to deal with right here, up and down the street in New Lebanon. This is one of the local churches. This is not uncommon to many of them, having a coffee bar, a place for refreshments, get your drinks. You got to have something for the kids, something to entertain them, something for them, some activities for them to be involved in. But when Paul wrote to the Ephesians about the church in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Where is God to be glorified? In the church. And he cannot be glorified in the church if we are not following the New Testament pattern. So since God has ordained the church as the home of the saved and the institution through which the gospel is to be preached, Ephesians 3:21, the organization which is to show forth his glory, it is important that we have an accurate understanding of the nature, the purpose, the mission of the Lord's church, and the church of Jesus Christ. And because of this, it's imperative for us to understand what the church is, to understand what our privileges and responsibilities are, to take advantage of our opportunities. And since, think about this, since the church is a New Testament institution, only the New Testament can speak about the church with authority and finality. We can't read what some man today says about the church as the authority. It was a New Testament institution. So let's look at some common misunderstandings about the church and compare them with the New Testament teaching. Now, if you didn't, on this next slide, if you didn't see the name of a church on there, what or where would you think this was? Here they're advertising Serve Sunday. Need an oil change? Need a haircut? We're offering completely free, no strings attached, oil changes for you on Sunday, and it gives the date. We can service any car, any make, any model in a year. Please let us know you're coming by calling, emailing, scanning the QR code, or checking the link below to let us know your car's year, make, and model. Stop by the church and enjoy a fresh cut by a master hairstylist. So while you're getting your oil changed, you can also get a haircut. Haircuts available for the entire family and can be done while you wait for your car to be finished. No tips or payments accepted. No strings attached. So you don't have to go down to the oil change place and pay to have them change your oil and sit there and wait and twiddle your thumbs while they're changing your oil. You can go to this church down the street. You can get the oil changed in your car for free, and they'll give you a free haircut. And we laugh at that. We laugh at that. But that's what people see the church as. The same church, they advertise themselves in different various ways. And with this, they have on this t-shirt, established 1957. I think there are different views on, you know, people putting the name of a church on your clothing to let people know you're like, I am a member of the New Lebanon Church of Christ. My belief is if you have to tell somebody that and they can't tell you're a Christian by the way you live, the way you talk, the way you act, wearing a sign on your clothes or wearing a sign around your neck that says I'm a Christian, it's not effective. But again, they are advertising, promoting themselves. Is this part of the New Testament church? And again, going back to our lesson this morning, tell us plainly. And one of the things was about baptism. Is it sprinkling, pouring, immersion? And in Acts 8, we see it stated, they both went down into the water and they both came up out of the water. This is a trend where a lot of places are going to what's called a dry baptistry. One person is immersed, the other one doing that is not. And people would say, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong? The one that's getting baptized is immersed. We have to go back to authority. Does it follow the New Testament pattern? The church is a New Testament institution. Are we following the pattern in the New Testament, not what some man says? Well, again, what is the church not? It's not a physical building. Some people talk about painting the church, having a wedding or a funeral in the church, going to church, eating in the church. The church is not a physical building. All of those phrases show a misunderstanding of what the blood-bought, heaven-sent, spirit-filled church is. The church of the New Testament is not a physical building. It is a spiritual building and should be spoken of as such. 1 Peter 2:5, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6, but Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm to the end. In Ephesians 2:21, Paul again writing to the church at Ephesus, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So the church is not a physical building. God does not dwell in the building, but in Christians who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Some people believe that the building takes on a holy significance. They talk about the sanctuary. That's sacred. This auditorium is not sacred. This table is not sacred. This podium is not sacred. Friends, the church is sacred. The people who have been called out and set apart by divine redemption. We should be sacred. We should be holy. We are called out of the world. We are sacred, not this meeting house. This building is not sacred. So you have beliefs all over the board. Some think of the building as just a place for recreation and eating. And then some have the idea that it's holy, it's sacred. And both of those are extremes that you cannot read about in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 3. God does not dwell in the building, but in Christians who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Some people believe that the building takes on a holy significance. The church is not a physical building. God dwells in the hearts and minds of men and women who have repented of their ways and who walk in the light of our Heavenly Father. Paul addressed that in Acts 17, where he was going through the streets and seeing all of these idols and inscriptions to idols, and there is one to the unknown God. And he said, let me tell you about this God that you don't know about. And he told him about the true God. God dwells not in building made with human hands. He cannot be confined within these walls. The physical building is not the church. The church is made up of individuals washed and redeemed. So this is another misconception about the church. Another one is the church is not a group of denominations. Some people believe you take every church from A to Z and you put them all together and they make up the church. Some believe that the church is composed of all of these different religious groups. You take that a step further, and some in the Lord's church believe that the church is made up of every congregation that has Church of Christ over the door. Just having Church of Christ over the door doesn't mean it's following the New Testament pattern. And then we also see a trend away from people identifying themselves as the Church of Christ, and they will have like the community church or the church in New Lebanon. They'll have, as I've mentioned before, down the road from us, there's Stillwater. That's the name of the church, Stillwater. Stillwater. Well, what does that mean? It can mean anything you want it to mean. If it said the Stillwater Church of Christ, we would know it was a church trying to follow the New Testament pattern. But when you just call it by one name, you got to wonder. So some believe that the non-institutional congregations, the institutional congregations, the pre-millennial congregations, on and on and on. Some in the brotherhood think that any of those, as long as they have the name Church of Christ over the door, can be part of the church. Some believe that everybody that's ever been baptized composed the New Testament church. Friends, that is nothing less than denominationalism. The Lord's church is not made up this way. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So we are to be one in purpose, in plan. Follow that plan, and we will be in harmony with the New Testament church. Some brethren think that the Church of Christ is just another denomination. That's wrong, and there's danger in thinking that. Some say that none of us are 100% right. We should just get along with everybody. You know, we're all wrong on something, and they're teaching unity and diversity. And friends, the Bible does not teach that. It does not teach that. Ephesians 4 that we looked at this morning and Ephesians 1. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Not many. It's singular. It's focused. Ephesians 1:22, and he put all things under his feet, gave him head to be over all things to the church. One church, one body, one spirit, one head, this unity. 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul writes, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Notice he says, be no division. Some people will brag about this division, this diversity. You know, we are open and accepting and will accept everybody. Friends, that's not what the New Testament teaches. The way is narrow. The way is narrow. Was Christ divided? No. The New Testament church is not a group of denominations. Denominationalism means division. A denomination is part of a whole. We aren't part of, we are the church. But again, what do many people think of about the church? They think of getting together. They think the kingdom is eating and having fun. Eating and having fun. Some look at the New Testament church as a social club, but it's not a social club. Some people look at the church as an opportunity to associate with others for social enrichment. I can, you know, if I go to this congregation, that's where the who's who in town go. And I can't go to some other place. I got to be in with them. Some to promote business interest. You know, I could make a lot more money if I go to this congregation than another one. Some to promote their political career. And I'm not judging anybody's heart, but if somebody tells me something, I know what they're thinking. Years ago, I heard one real estate agent, and this was back when we used to buy the Dayton Daily News, and one of the things I liked to look in it was that house section that had all the houses for sale. And you would see certain realtors' faces over and over and over where they had so many listings. And this person was talking about this woman down like southern part of Dayton and how she was such a successful realtor. And he mentioned the church that she went to. And the person was saying, and if you want to be a realtor, you ought to look at getting in with a congregation where you have lots of opportunity. That's the way some people think. But you don't have to be a realtor for that. People do that in any line of business they're in. It's not the business they're in. It's the heart that they have. The church is not a social club. Why do some people go where they go? Because of the people that are there. They approach the church as a means to improve their status. You know, I want to get a job with this company that's in town. And there's, you know, the president of the company, the vice president goes there. The treasurer of that company goes to this church. Maybe if I go there, maybe I can get in with that company. There are some people that look at it that way. We do have social relationships when we come together, but that's secondary. Our primary relationship is spiritual, not business and not politics. Why do some people go where they go? Because of the people that are there. They approach the church as a means to improve their status. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a social institution. It is a relationship of people redeemed by the blood of Christ who share a common faith. It's not a social club. Peter writes, 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God, our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And we should look on people bought out of sin and have a common faith and believe Jesus is King and believe He's coming back again to deliver His church up to the Father. What connects us in a congregation? It's not where we work or the social status we have. We're all the same because we were all sinners. We all stood condemned before God, and we accepted Christ and were redeemed, and we stand redeemed before God to give Him honor and glory in the church. That's what the church is about. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That's the same thing Paul was saying when he wrote to the Ephesians. We're the called out, the ecclesia, called out of the world. Our purpose is spiritual in nature, but many people want to turn the church over to social activities. That is their main emphasis, activities. You see, I've got activities underlined here because they emphasize activities. What kind of activities do you have for young people? Friends, we have all the activities the Lord has assigned to the church for young people, for middle-aged people, and for elderly people. Sometimes you see churches putting out these flyers, a special, they'll come up with some name for it, a special something, something, something for the young people. And a preacher was talking to me one time about that, and he said, I wonder when they're going to have a special something, something, something for us old people. Because you see, they use these activities, these things, to try to attract young people. There's an idea, if we don't have something that interests young people, if we don't entertain and amuse them, we'll lose them. But the more important question is, where is their spiritual interest? Their interest should be the same as mine and yours. Their interest should be in the Lord Jesus Christ, converted and dedicated to the lost. Again, we can do those other things with children as a function of the home, but not the church. The church's emphasis is spiritual. It's great to have get-togethers, young people, old people, great to have social activities, but again, that's a function of the home. Some have the misconception that's a function of the church. And that's a wrong understanding of the Lord's church. This is what so many people see the church as. These nice positive posters, get your coffee. I don't know if that's probably a juice for this little girl and something else. And the parent over here probably has that donut and a cup of coffee. That's what people see church as. But the church, the New Testament church, is not a social club. Recreation, gymnasiums, church kindergartens, ball clubs. Nothing wrong with these things. But what is wrong is when the church gets involved with these things. It's not the mission of the church to promote and provide these things. The church is not a social club. It is the saved, the redeemed, the house of God, put in the world for the purpose of saving souls of men and women. There's a misconception of the function and activities. Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, I think all of us here have heard of the song, Until We Meet Again, God Be With Us Till We Meet Again. There's another song out there, you may not have heard of this one, Until We Eat Again. And I'm not going to sing it, I'll just read the words to you. We met in church this morning, our dedicated flock, sang songs and took communion with one eye on the clock. We shook hands with the preacher, we got our tickets punched, then we caused a major traffic jam as we rushed out to lunch. God be with you till we eat again. Between the sales and suppers, we might get religion in. Gather around the table and we'll have a smorgasbord. Later, we might even praise the Lord. There's a rummage sale on Monday and softball for the men. But the Bible study's canceled because no one showed again. But our banquet meals and suppers bring the folks from near and far. We've shut down three local restaurants, a bakery, and a bar. God be with you till we eat again. Between the sales and suppers, we might get religion in. Gather around the table, and we'll have a smorgasbord. Later, we might even praise the Lord. Old Charlie died last Monday. He took a nasty fall. But I think we saw him Easter at breakfast in the hall. He was a deacon or an elder, maybe both. But who can tell? If you can eat your way to heaven, then old Charlie did it well. God be with you till we eat again. Between the sales and suppers, we might get religion in. Gather around the table and we'll have a smorgasbord. Later, we might even praise the Lord. We want a brand new preacher, so this one gets the boot. His wife is very friendly, but she can't cook worth a hoot. And the board has found some fellow with whom they are impressed. He's got no credentials, but he moonlights as a chef. God be with you till we eat again. Between the sales and suppers, we might get religion in. Gather around the table, we'll have a smorgasbord. Later, we might even praise the Lord. Oh Lord, protect my palate and hold my dentures tight. Shield me from the ulcers that might curb my appetite. And when my life is over, Lord, I've only got one wish. When you hold your marriage supper, let me bring a covered dish. God be with you till we eat again. Between the sales and suppers, we might get religion in. Gather around the table, we'll have a smorgasbord. Later, we might even praise the Lord. I heard this song, it must have been about 15 years ago, and I had to find the words to it, and they had like Calliope music playing in it. And it's, you know, I can't say why they did it, but so many people, that's what they see the church as. It revolves around eating. Not until we meet again, but until we eat again. Some see the church as a substitute. Friends, the church is not a substitute. Christ came to establish a kingdom. The Jews rejected him. Some say Christ postponed his plan to set up the church and set up the church as a substitute till he returns to establish the kingdom. That makes the church a temporary arrangement. This makes the church an accident. Friends, the church is not an accident. Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, the mind of God. The angels could see the manifold wisdom of God, and when we read it today, we can see the manifold wisdom. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. His eternal purpose. The church was right on schedule. Isaiah talks about it coming to pass in the latter days. 1 Timothy 3:15 talks about the Lord's house. If I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is not a substitute. The church and the kingdom are the same thing. Matthew 16:18. I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. When Christ established the church, he established the kingdom. He went on to say to Peter, I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom. The kingdom, it has a king, it has subjects, it has law, a territory. There's no difference in the kingdom and the church. It has a head. Christ is the head. The church and the kingdom are the same. So friends, the church is not a substitute. Many premillennialists make a liar out of the Lord. They make the church nothing more than a substitute. They dethrone Jesus. And then people will say we should fellowship them. Fellowship somebody like that. Fellowship somebody that believes in premillennialism. Friends, the New Testament, that goes against everything that the New Testament talks about. Christ came to establish his kingdom. He died on the cross to establish the kingdom. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. But this is what we see, what many people think of as the Lord's church. And this is one of the things that the Lord's church is not. It's not. The Lord's church is not an unstructured group of individuals. Some say the church has no organization. Some say there's no required pattern for carrying out the work. Just come and go as you please. That leaves you not accountable to anybody. But friends, we are all going to be accountable to God, and He set in place positions to help us be accountable to one another. Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Here we have the organization of the church. Three different subjects in this kingdom: saints, bishops, and deacons. We need to pray for this church that someday we will have more people here, and that we will have people here that are qualified to be elders. Again, to keep the church moving onward. Some will say, well, if there aren't any elders, just let the preacher do it. Friends, that's not the New Testament pattern. That's the same as denominationalism and looking at the preacher as a pastor. The church is not an unstructured group of individuals. Sometimes a lack of elders can even destroy a congregation. In Acts 14:23, so when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Titus 1:5, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. Set in order things that were lacking was dealing with them, with one thing, and then also appoint elders. That's part of the New Testament pattern. 1 Peter 5:2, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. So back to the need for elders. So one of the things, even if we don't have elders here, one of the things we need to impress on people, on young people, on young married couples, is prepare yourselves now to be elders and wives of elders. Don't wait till you're older and later, and you hear different stories of people being appointed elders, and some of them, it appears, they aren't qualified. We can, even without elders, we can encourage the young couples that we have now to live lives so that someday they might be the elders and elders' wives. Obey those that have the rule over you. Be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who give must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. That would be unprofitable for you. All of us need to be members of the Lord's church. We don't need to be confused about the Lord's church. When we are taught right, baptized right, we are added to the right church. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Which church did He add them to? Did He add them to the Methodist church? To the Baptist church? We cannot believe in error. We cannot walk in darkness and be in fellowship with God. 1 John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So back to one of the points at the beginning, the church is a New Testament institution, and we only read about one church, and that church came on the day of Pentecost, And if someone calls themselves a member of some church other than that church that was established on the day of Pentecost, it's not the New Testament church because it came too late. Some things the Lord's church is not. It's not an organization for the entertainment of children. Again, these are slides of places and churches right around here. Don't you think it would be nice if we had some leather sofas and chairs and coffee tables and things here? No, it wouldn't. But that's what some people are looking for. That's what they're looking for. Games and activities. When you look at this, if I had just put up some random slides, would you have thought that this was from a church gathering with the things that are hanging on the wall, the toys, the games, the props? And you know, you got to have your music. We were talking about music in the sermon this morning, Tell Us Plainly. You got to have your praise band. You got to have your guitars. Got to have the women up leading. And that's what so many people think the church is. These are some things the Lord's church is not. But it gets people in. It gets people in. You want to know something else that gets people in? You see that advertised, a nice big plate of bacon for Sunday morning for breakfast. Wouldn't you want to go there? Wouldn't you want to go there, Jim? That would be hard to turn down, huh? See, they're using things, fleshly things, to attract people. And I love bacon, but that's not part of the church. That's not a function of the church. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came. The winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he shall be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Friends, we've been looking at some things the church is not. Friends, the church that you are a member of, is your church built on the rock or built on the sand? Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that needs to respond, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.